Welcome to the show, Mr. Mantis from Grand Outer Design. How are you doing today?
Thank you very much, Simon. I'm busy, very happy to talk here. Really, thank you very much for inviting me. I really appreciate that, and it's a big thing for me, actually. It's a very first show for me. Let's call it that. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, and before we start the conversation, I just want to mention that you're really doing great stuff, and I think we need more people like you. This is how the industry
thank
grows.
You.
The more people like you we have, the better we are, and it's more fun. So
I feel humble, and thank you, Mantis.
No problem.
Let's start it off then. Tell everyone in the show who is Mantis before getting into the rapping business. You are not that old. You're pretty young, man.
Yes, I'm extremely young. I actually proud of this thing. I'm 26 years old, gonna hit 27. Mm-hmm. And my history is quite interesting, actually, because since I was a kid, I was going to school, and my goal was to be a professional football player in Europe. Mm-hmm. So
what position?
I was a striker.
You were making goals.
Yes, exactly. I became mature quite earlier than at the same time my age guys. So I had a really big, very big benefit against other players.
So you knocked down people.
Exactly. I was quite high, and I was super fast. And I remember we was going to tournaments, and some other coaches from other teams, they were asking my passport because they just didn't believe that I'm that age, you know? So I basically dedicated all my childhood to the football. I was invited to the very first football academy, and we was living together with all the teammates. We was going to the same school, to the same class. We had trainings two times a day, and I finished the football academy. I was playing for national teams, of course, and then I was actually the youngest player who was invited into the top league of the country.
Wow.
So I was 17 years old, and I was the youngest one in the top league. And then I started that I need to do some bigger steps. And then I found my agent, and then actually I moved to Italy, and I also had the pleasure and to play in the Serie A a little bit. Actually, not to play, but to train with the Serie A in Italy.
There you go, man. Wow.
Exactly. But unfortunately, things happens, and I got a very big injury. I got a knee, they call anterior cruciate ligament, I think. It's a knee, exactly. So it broke together with meniscus, and I had the surgery. Recovery was 9 months. I recovered, everything was pretty much okay, but then I start to feel more and more things there. And then I just went to one doctor. At that moment, he was Olympic doctor for the national team. And he just said to me, honestly, he said, you know, Mantis, you're super young, and I can write down on the paper, I can sign for you, that you're going to have very much problems with the knee. So as you are still young, so you still have time to make your own life. And I suggest for you to just quit the football and move on and try to find your way.
How old were you then?
I was then, I think, between 18 or 19, something like that.
That's a big decision to make at that age.
I think it was exactly before the school ended. Yeah, I was in like 12th grade, and that it was a good timing because actually I could still apply for the university. So that was a good thing. So talking about university, I applied and I studied economics for 2 years, and I didn't found myself there. I just felt that it's not for me. Actually, right. my whole family is pretty much all life also in the business. So for me, it was everything, you know, something about business.
The most natural question to ask you is, how do you go from becoming a football player to a student in economics to a car rapper? It's not really a natural progression.
Exactly. It was actually a super natural progression, because when I was still studying in my university, more and more I started to get into the cars. I always had a passion. I had friends who like been racers, and everything, you know, is like expensive cars and racing, and that just, I just found the passion there. And what I started to do, I actually started to install car stereos. So exactly, I started to learn. No one taught me at that moment.
Removing panels and all.
Exactly, all those small things, you know, and it was just the beginning, you know. So, and step by step, I started to make some stereos. I started to make some small money. It's not a money to survive, but let's call the beer money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and then.
So for anyone that doesn't know that, you live in Norway, and it's kind of expensive to live in Norway, right?
It's super expensive. It's one of the most expensive countries in the world. I just actually a few weeks ago found out the new statistics that Oslo is the most expensive city to live.
Well, congratulations, man.
it's a good thing, you know, but at the same time, it's a little bit annoying, you know, because there is some things which is okay, but there is some things which is like really just sucks your money out from your pocket immediately, you know. And talking about cars, everything what's about cars in Norway, it's super expensive. I think it's the same in Sweden.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Quite not like Norway.
Yeah, we are in Scandinavia. So anyway, it's all those three countries there, you know, they're expensive anyway.
But it's usually leveled out by you're supposed to get a better salary. So it's supposed to be okay.
Exactly. So you're paying more for the products, but automatically you're getting a pretty big salary. Let's say, for example, just for comparison, like 2,000 euros is a small salary here.
That's not the case in the old world. So, yeah.
Exactly. So, but you know, but you're paying for the things, 200-300 euros to pay for something is absolutely normal. If you go to the shop, if you spend 150-200 euros, that's like normal.
So how do you go from doing radios to installing rap?
Yeah, so and then after that, after the stereos, I saw one guy who was doing window tint, and there where everything started. I got my money, it was like 100 euros, and I immediately went to buy window tint, all the tools and everything. And I started to look YouTube. It was one guy who really got like pretty much ABC training there. It was actually quite useful training. I think I still have half basis from him. It's an American installer. He was just like promoting his company on YouTube and at the same time teaching. Yeah.
So what were you doing it on friends, or you were selling it?
No, exactly. It was for friends. And I remember I started by removing the glasses, the door panels and all those things, you know, and it was so terrible.
Going all the way.
if I think now about this thing, is that it's a really joke, you know, so, so, and of course, window shrinking, that every time I lay the big, I didn't knew nothing too much about this thing. So I just cut 1.30 meters, I put on the back window, start to shrink, it failed, and 1.30 meters again failed, I destroyed material in like 2 days, you know, and it was quite expensive actual material, you know, so I went to buy more. Wow. Yeah, and then about rapping is, I think I saw on YouTube somewhere that the rapping, it's a vinyl, and my friends, I remember, it was one company opened, and they saying, oh, have you seen, it's like a vinyl, you know, and they do the chrome wraps and all those things. And I was thinking, what?
But wait, it's chrome allowed in Norway?
Not the silver chrome. Right. Yeah, because it's reflective, so it can make a mirror effect on the crossway, and it can, you know, some person can maybe see something wrong.
So color chrome is allowed, but not the silver ones.
Exactly. Yeah, but people, you know, people driving until they've been caught.
Like always.
Exactly. So everywhere is the same. Yeah, and then, to be honestly, I started to get deeper into rapping. I haven't touched any material, but I just was Googling and trying to find everything was possible. And then the biggest step, which really moved me into the vinyl industry, was that I found the Justin Pate's UGIS system.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
And that was a killer for me. I didn't have money, so I got it's not good to say, but I got illegal videos. Yeah. I got them, and then
you can buy some videos from him in the future when you see him.
Yeah, as a compensation, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, so UGIS, and I started to look deep there, and then I found the Rap Institute. And I think the Rap Institute was not launched yet. I just saw that it's coming. And I started to follow Justin Pate on LinkedIn, on, I think, Instagram he already had. I'm not sure.
So wait, then we're talking about 3 years ago, right? Or well...
Yeah, a little bit more, actually. We talk here about like 4 to 5 years, I think. All we right. have to count, yeah, but something like that, yeah, maybe. So, and then I got an invitation for one company. This guy didn't do nothing about rapping. He had a car wash, and I said that I did something, but I'm not an expert, but we can give a try. You know, I can learn.
You were honest.
I'm really honest all my life. You know, I'm really, honest with myself, because this is the key to success, I think. So then we started. He bought a 3M 900 series or something because he saved the money.
That's a nice vinyl to start with.
Exactly. And you know, I didn't knew nothing too much. I didn't fell the vinyl, and I started to rap this car. And actually, I already knew something about the rapping from a UGIS system. And I just started to rap, and I think I did two doors. It was Honda CRV 2002 or 3 model or something like that. And I wrapped like two doors, and then I moved to bumper, and it was just not working, you know. It was just not working, but
I can understand why.
But in the middle of the job, this guy somehow managed to call to the 3M distributors, and he said that we're wrapping the car, and they said this is not for the car wrapping. So they send us at the end, they send us 1080 white series, white gloss, and then I wrapped.
What a difference, right?
Exactly. And then, you know, when I started to wrap, I think I finished that car in like 5 days or something like that. And it was bad. It was first lifting and bubbling was in like 1 week or something, you know. And then I got very angry on myself, you know, because I really wanted to wrap the cars. I really wanted to wrap the cars. And then Rap Institute came. And then I got money at that moment, a little bit, and I bought my first subscription on the Rap Institute. To be honest, I think if Justin listens this thing, so if he will check maybe the subscription, I think I'm one of the first users in the Rap Institute. I'm almost sure, because I remember when I logged in, it was just like 10 videos there or 20 or whatever, you know.
And do you still keep looking at them?
And now I'm looking once, twice a week, but last, maybe not last 2-3 years, but at the very beginning, he was actually very active on Rap Institute, and I follow all his growth, you know. I was seeing the first videos, and I even remember when he bought a different camera, you know, and then the videos changed, you know. So that thing, and I was looking every single video 2 times, 1 time, some of the videos 3 times, and actually I pretty much remember all of the videos.
With the knowledge that you have today and the experience that you have today, you still get value out of it?
Honestly, if not the Rap Institute and Justin dedication to learn people, I will not be a rapper.
That's big.
So basically I can say myself that if someone's gonna ask me where you learned the rapping, I would answer Justin Pate taught me how to learn. You know, I didn't meet him physically, I just was looking, but you know, when you look in the videos, he looks like a mentor, you know, because you hear his voice all the time and everything.
He has this soothing voice when
exactly,
he talks.
You know?
Makes you just want to listen.
Exactly, you know, he has a gift for teaching the people. That's for sure.
I agree.
Yeah, and then, you know, I started to rap. I got the job in the One Sign company here in Oslo. I already rapped a little bit some other cars, you know, a little bit more experience I had. But I just jumped into the sign industry. I had skills with the computer, so I started like with the Illustrator, Corel, making designs, like decal designs. Mm. Not the huge designs, not the print designs, but the decal designs, you know. And from there, I also a little bit more wraps. But at that moment, I already knew how to tint the windows, so that was a big key for me. Because I'm still doing until today window tinting, so I can call myself good at it. I'm still not an expert in window tints. There's many better guys, yeah. But wrapping is my passion. Wrapping is everything, you know.
So what is it that you like so much with wrapping? I mean, you tried a couple of different stuff from stereos to window tinting and wrapping. What is it that draws you back to wrapping?
I think the uniqueness, you know, is that you never know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing that I'm really critical with myself. And I was always thinking that if it doesn't happen, it has to wait. It has to be a way to make it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I felt in love with this thing, you know, because this is like you never know who's going to come today or tomorrow, you know. And this is very interesting. And those cars, you know, to remove, it's a passion about cars. You're removing the parts and everything. You're doing everything yourself. No one is teaching you. And you're just wrapping and you see that car has been changed in 3 days, you know.
Just to clarify to people, you do color changes, right? Not companies, but just the color change.
Our company have three services, three main services. So that would be wrapping, that would be window tinting, and it will be paint protection. So if we talk about wrapping, 80% of the jobs is full color change.
Mm-hmm.
And I have few clients who are old clients. I have plotter, so we still produce them some stickers. And we have also one company, it's a taxi company, and we wrapped over like 30, 40 cars for them. So you basically fully wrap in the white gloss and then you just apply it. Few stickers.
Well, yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. So this is our sign industry. But basically, yes, we're working with the private people. At this moment, at this day, we actually have honor to have a very expensive cars. And
how is it for you? Because I mean, when you're doing a color change on an expensive BMW or Porsche or whatever, it's a special way of working with the vinyl. But when you're doing taxi cars, for example.
Yes,
it usually tends to be that you just need to get it on and it needs to stick. How do you find it easy to swipe from one to the other?
Yes, when you're doing for the private customer is a color change for the private customer, it's one thing. But when you're doing for the company, I have my business model that it doesn't matter which car you do, you still have to do a good job, you know. And yes, I have some tricks which saves my time, you know, saves maybe 2-3 hours at the end of the job. Right. And but those tricks I already pre-agreed with the client. I said for him, here, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. It will be less coverage here. I'm not going to move door handles on this car or on this car. You know, I'm not going to wrap under the rubbers. I'm just going to cut flush to the edge, you know. But I promise you that everything is going to stay. It's no stress in the material and you're not going to have a problem. And actually, we have them now for maybe 2.5-3 years and not a single car never ever came back. So that's, I'm really happy. So, but yes, to answer your question, it's a difference, but I'm not doing like, you know, I'm just cheap car tax. I'm just got no cleaning and nothing. Still has to be a clean job. Every corner has to be nice, you know. I'm not wrapping the corner so deep, but I'm just cutting it a triangle shape, you know.
Right, and just so, tuck it in.
Exactly, and just tuck it in, you know. So it looks clean. As long as it looks clean and symmetrical, all the cuts are symmetrical, you know, and you can leave maybe even 5 centimeters of color somewhere. But as long as you make with a knifeless and symmetrical cut, it plays, you know?
Right.
And it's acceptable for the customer. And at the very beginning, I actually had a conversation with them. They were not happy that I'm like not wrapping so many things around the edge, because they said, oh, when we're washing the car, it just starts to lift because we wrapped the car before and it was so much problems. And I always said to them one thing, it's not about where you cut, it's about the application.
Right.
How do you apply the material before you start to cut? Is there much stress in the material or there is no stress in the material? So that's the answer. And I'm still into this way. Maybe some wrappers will not agree with me, but I'm almost sure that the perfect wrap exists.
We'll go back to that in a couple of seconds. But yeah. How much do you put into actually teaching your customers prior to selling or before installation, teaching them on what a wrap is?
Yeah. At the very beginning, I didn't told them nothing. Absolutely. I was just, give me the car, I will do the job. But I knew that I have to do inlays, overlays, or, you know, those things. Mm-hmm. And they were, not everyone, but let's say some of the customers were really not satisfied. They always like, oh, I'm paying you money. You have to do this job. What is this? Other companies doing that and that, you know. And then I started to not like, I never argue with my customer. I'm always trying to find a solution for everything.
Right.
But I'm kindly explain to him that it has to be like this, you know. Other companies is maybe doing this way. Yes. But how long it will hold, you know. And if it starts to bubble, it's not the material fault. It's the installer who did the job. So this is why I did this. But these days, every single customer, and now I know exactly pretty much every single car. So I'm immediately, when the customer comes, he chooses the color and we book a date. Usually we have 2 to 3 weeks waiting time. So when he delivers the car, and then I'm saying for him, okay, here and there, you're going to have a nice inlay, but this will be very symmetrical. It's not going to be cuts on the car because I'm using knifeless tape. Mm-hmm. And usually I pull the knifeless tape from my tool bag and I show for him, look at this, and they're really impressed about those things. I like to actually show for my customers some tricks with the vinyl, and so the customer really understands what does he have on the car, you know. And I'm always trying to show, okay, here I'm working with Avery Dennison or 3M, and this is why you're paying more money, because it's more expensive material. And then I give to him like a cheaper material, and I'm showing him, you see, it's more aggressive, and it's like it's a thinner if it's some other brands. It's a small thing, yeah, but I'm trying to learn also my customer, because then I think he really understands what you did, you know.
You're right.
And then he can also explain to his friends, no, oh, this is this vinyl and this is that.
Yeah.
And then,
because the question is going to come. Yeah, they're going to come. How much did you pay for a wrap? Oh, that much. Oh, it's so much money. Why? You could do it for this much.
Exactly, you know. So, and then I think once you give us some minimal education to your customer, you know, I think, and if it's a, I think the more people talk about this thing, the more knowledge the customer have, the more jobs we're going to have, you know, because if it's really empty market, empty knowledge for them, you know, it's they don't know what they have. And, you know, for in Norway, not Norway, but actually very interesting thing about prices is that in Norwegian prices is sometimes even cheaper or the same like in Europe. So basically we charge 2,500 euros simple customer, you know, for a basic wrapping.
I thought it was going to be more.
No, that's definitely not, because the it's just competition is not big, but there is competition, and you know, everyone keeps lower or very high prices, and you have to find this middle spot, and this is that middle spot, like 2,000 to 2,500 euros. So, but that's the interesting thing. But the profit margin is okay. Mm-hmm. Actually, every material is way cheaper than in the Europe, and I'm very surprised. I don't know why, you know. So
let's not tell them about that then.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, that's the thank you, every guys. Yeah, but I'm using only premium materials, because our customers, they always saying, I will pay you more. but just do it for me currently. It's not existing. Like, for example, in States, yeah, you have, okay, I have this material, or this material, and the price will be accordingly by the material.
Right.
And here it doesn't exist. Everyone is doing premium. There is some companies, of course, they're using KPMF or IC2 or Hexis. I'm not saying it's very bad, but it's cheaper. But yeah, but basically 3M and Avery Dennison is...
it's premium, right?
Exactly. And no one is wasting money. No one is wasting time, you know? Right. And for me, time is super important. I mean, why do I have to... I know how to work with every single material, but I don't understand why do I have to struggle so much, you know, if I have a material which you can work pretty much closed eyes, you know?
So last time I met you, we were, it was over at FESPA. You were working at the Avery booth doing some reps with another, with other cool guys.
Yes.
Reiner and Geoffrey and and a couple others. So we also talked about a little bit about the new shop you were building or you were remodeling. Yes.
Exactly.
So how far away are you? Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
I'm actually sitting now here. So that's really, really nice. We are...
And you were really proud of it. So tell us, what's special with the shop?
Special is that... actually, I should mention this before. I have a partner which is not into the wrapping, but he definitely... knows everything about wrapping because we talk, I give him every single update, what's in the market, you know, and what I did and what I found out and everything. So he knows everything about the wrapping, but he is more to the clients. He's like a real businessman. And the thing is that he has, by the way, without him, my company would never exist because like we really put very much love and effort into this company to grow it together.
Would you say you compliment each other?
Exactly. We are the best friends. We are partners. We are neighbors, and we just, if we have something wrong, we never, you know, hold. We just fix the problem immediately, and we agreed this from the very beginning, you know. And some other guys also said before we started, they said for him, "What are you doing? Are you crazy? You don't know this guy. You're starting the business with him, you know." Mm-hmm. So, but we just found something into each other, you know, and this is how it rolls, you know.
It just works.
I'm very happy. It just works, and I think it's gonna work, you know, as long as we keep gonna keep continue doing what we're doing now, it's gonna work. So yeah, so he is selling the cars. He's buying himself the cars at this moment. He is importing the cars from Germany, very expensive cars, so like a premium cars. So and he has the shop, you know.
Right.
And then one day the owner of the building, he came, he said, oh, maybe you want to expand and this and this and that, I could move out other guys, you know, and give you this and this. And we was thinking, why not? So at the moment we have 1,100 square meters.
That's a lot.
But from those 1,100, about like 700 square meters is for his car showroom.
All right, about 300 square meters do you have?
Exactly, something about, yeah. So and now we are in the same building. We have one reception, and you know, it's a car wrapping, expensive cars, expensive clients. We're not actually pushing and selling so much of our wrapping to his clients who is buying the car, but actually 95% is just clients from the street. Of course, I don't know why, but we want to, of course, push more a little bit for him. But yeah, so the idea is that, you know, our workshop and everything what we did is we earned this with a hard job,
right?
You know, so we are very proud of this thing because everything what we've done is in stages. We're not rushing too much, you know. We're not taking loans and something because I think it's real important if you're in this industry is. If you're small like us, yeah, you do a premium job, you charge a little bit more, but it's very important not to have too much debt. It's really important. Otherwise, you will go just bankruptcy quickly.
So you have 300 square meters. That's approximately about 3,200 square feet of a premises where you work at. What was the most important for you when you were getting this shop ready? What were you looking for?
I was looking actually that it has to be homey space. Really homey space because I don't want to work in the huge, like, you know, lager or how you call this?
Yeah, yeah, a big industry.
So we're with like 20 meter roof and something like that, because, and this is the reason why, because we are not doing signs, you know, we are not sign makers, you know.
Right.
We do have a plan to open sign making company, because we know that fleets and signs, this is money, you know, this is business, it's good. Mm-hmm. But we are not rushing, we want to grow our baby here, Grand Auto Design. So as a premium wrapping company, which is now premium wrapping company. And after some time, when we feel we are ready, we want to open a separate name and then do the sign. So because we don't want to mix those two, because I think, you know, if you start to mix,
that's important, premium,
that if you start to mix premium wrapping company with a sign company, then you are the random sign company.
Yeah, you just want to do a different branding, right? You want to be known for different things.
Because if we just put now signs and fleets into the same name, then we just become a random standard cheap company, you know? And there is, I have some examples, I cannot mention names, but they did the premium wrapping at the beginning and they were lack of money. And now they're doing everything, you know? And people start to talk, they are just, you know, again, random companies, right? Like 20 of them.
That means that you are sitting in a shop that you seem to be very cozy at, and you're wrapping alone, right?
Exactly. I'm wrapping alone. I used to have a guy. I learned him from zero, but unfortunately, he was actually quite... I saw something in him, you know, and I think he could be a really good rapper, but we just didn't got with each other, you know. It was difference into our mindset, you know. So that's why, you know, but now there's also one more guy. He really wants to learn. He's even younger than me. He's still studying and he is crazy about rapping. He came to shop and he said, I just want to learn, you know, just, I want to work here for free. I just want to learn rapping. And this reminds me, you know, so because I knew that if you want to reach something, you have to really work. You have to sacrifice yourself. It will not come easy.
Do you believe yourself to be a perfectionist?
Yes, I do believe, but honestly, I'm a smart perfectionist.
All right.
So if I know that I can do something to go around to save the time but still keep the same result, I will do this. But if I know that I cannot do this for this car and something, I'm not cheating with the customers, never, ever. But I'm always trying to be smart. You know, I don't remove not a single part, because I always was thinking one thing, that it should be possible to wrap everything without minimal removing.
So you don't remove, yeah. If you don't have to remove it, you won't remove it.
Exactly. So to be honestly, I'm removing door handles.
Right.
I'm removing sometimes mirrors. Like, for example, if we have Porsche, the Porsche mirror sits on the doors.
So yes. Yes.
You know, of course. So then I sometimes, if it's a white or any bright color car, I do remove the backlights. I do remove bumper caps for the hooks. Mm-hmm. I do remove bumper washers. What else? Sometimes antenna. BMW's antenna I remove. Audi, Volkswagen, I removed, because that's a quite easy job, you know. Mm-hmm. So some rubber moldings, that's it. That's it.
Okay.
Of course, you still have to remove a bumper. For example, if you have 911 Porsche white color, this front bumper, it has a stupid grills. It's possible to make without removal, but it just
takes time.
Yeah, and it's not nice, you know. Mm. So then you have to remove the bumper, because those grills comes from inside of the bumper.
Right.
But most of the time, all the parts, they come from outside of the car. That's good.
So if we start talking a little bit about the Vespa experience for you, I'm guessing it was the first time you actually were part of the show in that way, that you were rapping there. What did you get from it? What did you like it? Was it interesting? Was it scary?
Yes, that was the first time I rapped. And actually, you know, I started to rap there random because I came as a, I cannot maybe say those things, but I don't know, maybe someone will be very angry, but I came a little
don't say anything that makes people angry.
You know, I just I think it was second day of the Vespa, and I just didn't have what to do, you know. And I went to Pascal and I said, can you give me something to stick? And I, you know, and he said, just guys, give him something to stick, you know. And then I started to do something, this. And then Geoffrey was doing his design. And then I just saw somehow that those guys were rapping, you know, they were really busy, so many people. And I saw that like time is running still, you know, and the like half of the bumper is not like left, half is cut and half is not cut. And it's like hanging, you know?
Yeah. You couldn't help yourself. That was all about. You couldn't help yourself.
Yeah, the time is just like I see 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Still no one is going there. They're still wrapping somewhere or other side, you know? And then I just took a knife and I just went to cut. And from there, it's just Geoffrey, just can you do striping here? Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? Can you do that? You know, and he actually, that was, I think it was helpful for him because he really could concentrate on the other things, which is very important for him, you know, because I worked before at the Geoffrey's place before FESPA.
Yeah.
And I a little bit know that, you know, he don't care about those small things. He looks at the base, you know.
Yeah.
So for him, it was a show. It was his design. And I was thinking, why not, you know? One extra, two extra hands, you know, no problem. And he was very happy, you know, and he just left me all those like shitty jobs. Yeah, so of course it was also rapping, and he concentrated on the design, on the transformer style on the side, you know. It was really important for him, you know. And I think if he would still need to do all those small jobs, you know, he maybe couldn't have time to do what he really wanted. Yeah, but I was really excited.
Man, I thought I gotta be honest with you. I thought you were brought for the event when I saw you there. I mean, yeah, he's probably brought for the event. So congrats to you on that.
Yeah, I have very good relation with old Avery Dennison. I've been in Netherlands many times there, and you know, I know all of these guys. You know, so for me, it's like Avery is like family. I'm a certified also installer. I'm also 3M endorsed installer. So, but Avery is for me is.
Is it your go-to brand then, Avery?
Exactly. No, I'm not saying that I'm only working with Avery. I work with what my customer wants. But if I have a chance, I would really choose Avery, that's for sure. And I think most of the installers will choose Avery, and everyone knows answers why.
Let's talk a little bit about what you see. Because, I mean, you're situated in Norway. I know you traveled at least two times before prior to this to Geoffrey and worked at his shop. And I'm guessing you work with Avery as well. So what do you like? Being abroad and working abroad, or you like staying at home? And and why do you choose to work abroad? Is it for I can understand that it has to do sometimes with money, but is there something else in it that you like?
Actually, you're not gonna believe, but I was at Geoffrey's place completely for free and at my own cost. He offered me money. I didn't took money because
explain to people why, because this is important.
Yeah,
why do you choose to travel from your shop where you're saying no to jobs, being able to go and work with other people and not taking money? Why?
Because, you know, I'm still young. Yeah. So I have like 6 years experience in this industry. Yeah. But sometimes the year doesn't count, you know, especially in color change. It's more about not, you can work 10 years, but wrap only 50 cars, you know?
Right.
And I wrapped in my experience, I wrapped in color change easily over 350. I was counting, but about 350 to 400 cars I wrapped in like color change, you know? So this is a huge amount.
Mm.
And for me, why I chose to went there, actually Geoffrey invited me there himself, and he, at the end of the job, he offered money, but I didn't took. And the answer for this is because if you really want to learn, you have to sacrifice yourself, you know? It's money sometimes is not the most important thing. And people like Geoffrey, like Rainer, like Michael Swatsky, who, you know, they are experienced guys. And you want it or no, you're still going to pick up something new. And I'm the guy, I think, as long as...
Even if you're only cleaning, right? You're still going to pick up something.
Exactly, you know, of course it was like this. I wrapped very much there, but I was not like a, you know, this sixth guy there. We was a team, and it was a teamwork. It was brilliant. It was crazy time, you know.
No, but I mean, I get you, but I mean more into the fact that If you wanna elevate your level, you gotta be around people that are helping you elevating your level.
Exactly. For me, is not the most important thing to become a famous rapper or win some rap competitions. I just want to go higher in the quality, you know. And this is the people which can provide you the correct education, because there is so many like trainers who is providing really stupid education, and you have to do your own research and to find out which ones can provide you the good education. And by going there for free just to help, it's a long-term investment, you understand,
right?
So because if I go there, I learn things, I know that I'm gonna put these things into my shop, and this will bring better results someday. So yeah, I think it's real important to never stop learning. You know, that's why Rap Insta also has this thing. I think as long, because materials is changing, techniques is changing. You know, like 2 years ago, the pre-stretch technique was like it was like sick thing. You know, It was like a dream come true. And today we have a 3D pre-stretch, cold pre-stretch, and so many other things. And if you don't follow this thing, you are very quickly far behind from other rappers.
You were talking a little bit about quality, and we had a little chat about that in the beginning, where you believe that it's possible to do a perfect rap job that it's similar or even better than a paint job, right?
Exactly.
Explain your train of thought there.
Yeah, so I think I cannot say this 100% sure, but I think that most of the rappers, they concentrate on the wrong things. I think they concentrate more about cleaning, preparing the surface, removing the parts, you know, wrapping around the edges and everything, but they do not concentrate on the finishing. I think the finishing is the key to success, really. Of course, wrapping, it has to be perfect, stress-free wrapping and all those things, but this is a basic, you know, which you educate yourself, you know. Once you are in the some point level, this wrapping becomes, for example, today I started 10:30 my wrapping on the X4, and 12:10 I was finished with all the left side, complete left side, you know. So, and I'm working alone. So the thing is that for me to wrap a part now, it takes about maximum 5 minutes. So the wrapping for me is not the most important. But then I slow down and I start to work on the finishing. Because I think every single corner has to be perfect. Everything has to be symmetrical. It cannot be, you have to, of course, put inlays where you must to put. But I think if you really do the symmetrical and wrinkle-free application, and of course, stress-free, it's the existing perfect wrap. But I'm actually not spending so much time on the bottom of the car. All the cuts on the car on the bottom, they're straight, because I know that someday someone's going to fix this car. They're going to lift the car. And they're gonna see that, okay, it's nice, straight cuts and everything, you know. But and then they're gonna ask, who did this wrap, you know,
right?
Because it looks good. But I'm not over wrapping. I'm not wasting my time where it's not important. I'm not removing so many parts. I'm not wrapping so deep. I'm wrapping only deep enough where it's enough, you know. And I don't understand what's the point to wrap this 5 or 6 centimeters when you open the door, you know. What's the point? Anyway, it's not going to lift if it's proper application. So I concentrate on those things, you know, on put everything on the rubber, you know. Of course, mistakes happen and all those things. But I think maybe I cannot call the perfect wrap. I can call like super clean wrap.
All right.
And I think that you're only good rapper as your last rap. So you can be in the industry 20 years and did maybe 1,000 cars. Just bring me your last car you wrapped. And if I see something wrong, you are a bad rapper. So for me, it's very important that every single job leaves my shop with the same quality. I think the customers understand that it's a constant quality, you know, it's durability, nothing is left. Actually, honestly, I don't remember when was the last time I fixed the door handle or mirror. I don't remember. So I really concentrate on those things.
So you put time in what you think it's most important, and that's the finishing parts. Hitting everything, because, cutting everything, the corners and all of that.
Exactly. You know, starts from the corners all the curves. The straight edges, they are easy. You can do this in one shot and it's nothing to do there. Concentrate on the corners. Do the right, do when you're wrapping, hook the corners first, cold pre-search, you know. Then you know that they're never gonna lift, and once you're gonna give a little bit of heat before you cut, it's just gonna wrap around the corner and you know that it's stressless, you know. And of course, heat everything, you know. That's because I did analyze my customers, what they're doing. And I noticed that they actually, when the car is finished, the first thing they do, they come to the A-pillar, where is the hood and fender joints, and they look for the corners. Then they look at the mirror. Then they look at the handles. Then they look at the bumper. So, and pretty much it's the same pattern for every customer, you know. No one's, few people opening the doors and they checking inside, you know, but I think finishing. And actually sometimes I rather leave 2 millimeters of old color, but have a perfect corner. Because if you're just gonna stress the material to wrap this full color into that corner where it's just not possible, you're gonna leave small wrinkles and the material is just not gonna sit on the paint properly. And I think by the time the dirt just comes into those wrinkles and everything starts to lift slowly. So I'd rather have a 2 millimeters or 1 millimeter visible color, if it's gray or black or whatever, you know, right. But I have a perfect corner. Because especially on the bumpers, sometimes there is some cars which is harder to make, you know. Of course, I'm trying to make everything as best as possible, but sometimes, especially on the side skirts, at the bottom of the car, you can cheat a little bit, you know, because this is where the big stress is, you know, to wrap around the side skirts. I make a very nice relief cuts and my material just falls. I'm not taking a heat gun and jamming around the side skirt, you know.
Heating it into place.
In general, for me, actually, you will be surprised if, when I'm working with Avery, if I'm working 8 hours a day, you will only gonna hear a heat gun totally maybe 1 hour. Because Avery is completely different material. The less heat you provide for the material while you're wrapping, the better the application it is. And I think it's a big benefit.
You know, well, the less stress, people, right? It's all about stress.
Exactly. I mean, if you can wrap a car without door or fender or roof or hood or whatever without a heat gun, why should I do this? You know. And I heard very much interesting stories that I'm doing completely wrong, you know? And this is, if the material lets me to do those things, I have to use those things, you know? And I mean, if you're not using the heat gun, how can you overstretch the big piece? It's just mission impossible, you know? The heat gun comes to the play to relax the material while you're doing the bumpers, to finish everything, to bond everything, to post heat everything, to fix some fingers or wrinkles when you sometimes go with squeegee, you know. This is when the heat gun comes.
Right.
But not like I'm gonna jam. Of course, on the bumper you're using more heat gun. That's normal, you know. But where is the flat? If we're talking about doors, it's just basically heat gun is before I do the corners and finishing, and then going around to check for the bubble. That's it.
As a business owner, is there anything that keeps you up at night and thinking about and wondering about?
Yes, we do very much paint protection, and last year and this year is a year of paint protection, you know, and everyone will probably see this thing. And, you know, we have a deal with Porsche Center. We do brand new cars for them, full cars, fronts. We have very much Teslas for paint protection. We have also a deal with owner clubs, and we have very much paint protection, and we have very much problems, random lifting. Who knows why? It seems like I'm doing everything what's supposed to do, but it.
Are you doing Ceramic Pro or not?
Yeah, we're doing on top. If a customer wants, we're doing Ceramic Pro on top of the vinyl.
On top of the paint protection as well.
Yes, vinyl and paint protection, because Ceramic Pro has a product for special for PPF and vinyl. Yeah. So what keeps me awake at night is these problems. I cannot afford to have problems. It's not about money or something. It's just like more wood to the fire for me. Because for me, I truly believe that it has to be perfect way to do the application. So it's no problems. You know, if you're using Expel Lumar paint protection or Avery paint protection, doesn't matter, they give you 10 years warranty. Yeah. So from that 10 years, you can say that, okay, 2 to 3 years, you can give the warranty for your customer that nothing is going to lift, you know. And my goal is to make how I should make that it's not lifting, you know. And I would do whatever I need to do. I will go wherever I need to go just to learn. If it doesn't work, I will go again just to make so it's not lifting. For me, it's so important that it's not lifting. You don't imagine. This is what keeps me awake in the night. I just thinking, I'm looking. I'm not looking YouTube, never, ever. But I'm just trying. I'm asking people, you know, I'm writing. I remember I wrote a phenomenal vinyl for the Matthew.
Right, Matthew.
Exactly. He makes very much pain protection. I just wrote my problems there. You know, I don't know this guy, but I know that he makes very much pain protection, you know. And I got some advices from him, you know. Very important. But anyway, yeah, I'm really, it's a pain for me if there's a problem in my reps. I really take this very deeply, very deeply. My partner sometimes says, just forget it. Why are you thinking so much? It doesn't work.
But I get you. I mean, it's, you are your brand. You need to be spotless if that's what you're selling.
Exactly, because this is how we're going into the market, you know, like this. We're going like this as a premium quality. So if the customer comes and pays for your money, where's this premium quality? If something is lifting, you know. So and yeah, so that's the answer.
Interesting. I hope you find it, you sort it out, man.
I will. I will do whatever it's necessary, but I will sort it out. like I did with my first reps, I will do the same with pain protection, because pain protection is a different product.
It is totally yes, totally yes.
It has nothing to do with wrapping, absolutely.
Even though it looks sometimes as wrapping, yes, yeah.
It has nothing to do with wrapping, absolutely.
Well, you know, on a lighter level, on a lighter note, what do you love to wrap the most? What car do you like to wrap the most?
Yeah, I do like to wrap. Most car I like to wrap. That's interesting. You talking about the easy way or the passion where I love?
Whatever suits you. I don't know.
Whatever suits you. The easiest car to wrap would be for me Tesla Model S. Facelift from 2016. I mean, it's nothing to remove there, and it's so flat. Everything, it's such big gaps. I can wrap this car in 1.5 days completely, absolutely, alone, easily, and probably even with window tint. And window tint is also the easiest to make that car. It's just so easy to wrap that car.
We gotta thank we gotta thank him for thinking of us.
Yeah. So yeah. So. It's cool to wrap Tesla because it's easy, you know. But if talking about the passion, I really like to wrap Audi RS6, BMW M5 or something like that. I think you can make really cool stuff with those cars. Yeah, so
they are cars that, well done, if properly thought of, they could be, yeah, they can look amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, there is some type of cars which you can really pretty much do so many different decisions and it will still look good. But there is cars where, for example, like Mercedes S-Class or 7 Series BMW, the older one, it's just not a single color fits on that car. It's just one white pearl, for example, or some black. That's it. It just doesn't fit. And also, this is boring, you know. But when you have, much to do, it's always something that's cool.
What's been the most challenging project you've ever been involved in?
It will be very funny, but I will tell you.
Tell me. And tell me what you learned from it.
Yes. It was actually like before I go to Joffrey's place, like now. So that was like 1 month ago or something.
Yeah.
It was one pensionist guy who came with a 2005 or 4 Suzuki Gran Vitara.
Wow.
And you know, my partner, he just told him the price, you know, and with 3M matte military green, he said, just do the wrap, do whatever you need to do. I just want military green on this car. Okay. And then when I saw this car, it was sick. If you go on Google now and you will check all the mirrors, all the grills, everything, and it's rubber silicone on every single part. There's silicone. There is no air. It's silicone everywhere. So this was, it took me 4 days, and with 3M, it's aggressive material, you know. And this car was like smell of diesel, and it was oil everywhere. It was so hard to work. I removed pretty much every single part. So this was underpriced job, and it took such a long time. But what I learned from this, I actually found out myself, can I do this perfect? And actually it went absolutely perfect. It went brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So this is, you know, for you to sort of like a test, like a checkup, you know.
Find a Subaru Vitara and try wrapping it.
Not a Subaru, but Suzuki.
Suzuki,
Grand. Yeah, Suzuki Grand Vitara. That's a 2004 or something. That's a sick car. But of course, the G-Wagons is hard cars. Yeah, the Porsche GT3 RS is an interesting car. Interesting car. So, but the rest is for me is I'm just, you know, I'm a system guy. I have a really good system when I'm working. I think systems can save you 20-30% of the time.
You mind telling us a little bit about that? What's your system like?
Yeah, quickly, it's first of all, it's car wash. How I do the wraps, yeah. So it's the car wash, of course.
Right.
Then you blow with the air, so it's no water in the workshop. You drive in. In the winter, you leave overnight to dry out. Then it's removing the parts. What is necessary, then the cutting material, all the material has to be cut on the table, and it has to be rectangular shape. It has to be or squares or rectangle. It cannot be circles or some, you know, S-form cuts or something. As long as you have straight lines on your cuts, it saves so much time by removing the liner, and it doesn't, because sometimes you can give very much stress into the material if it's not cut properly before. So
right.
the nicer you cut on the table, the easier it will be for you to apply. Yeah, and then I'm usually starting from top to bottom, and I do like I'm going like 360 about the car, but I have a procedure. I put there, I remove the liner, always full liner at once. It doesn't matter if I do side or bumper or whatever. Glass, squeegee, cutting, all the trash roll in the trash bag, and then heat up. I always like to finish that part immediately. Full bubble checkup and post heating, everything is done, you know, and then you move to other part and everything is pre-cut. All the panels is marked, which one is which. You don't need to look. You don't need to search. Trash can is closed. Everything is closed, you know, and you work in the clean workspace, because I think if you're working in like a trashy workspace, your job will be also trashy. So yeah, that's the system, you know, and you're rolling, you're not bullshitting. You're just working, you finish, you're done, you go under. You finish, you're done, you go under. It's a repeated process for every single part, you know, and you know exact steps, you know. You make proper relief cuts where my heat gun is a relief cuts. You can do so many things with the relief cuts that you don't need the heat gun. So that's the thing, you know. So this is
right.
What saves time, because picking up this heat gun heat thing, you know, and all those things, it takes so much time, so much energy, you know, and it's at the end of the job, especially with Avery, you can so easily overstretch Avery Denson with heat gun, you know. So that's why it's much better called. If it's 3M, it's different game, because 3M is different techniques, you know.
Got it. So let's go to a broad question there. Let's go to a broad question in the sense that, where do you see the industry going in the future?
I'm glad that you asked this question. I was actually, I think industry is still growing, definitely growing, because I think this industry is still, it's still somewhere in the middle, if not backwards, you know. I think it's a beginning. I think it will be much, much more things to do. And I really, really think that it will be split between the services. I think some wrappers will turn to paint protection only, or window tint. Some wrappers will going to turn to sign making only. Some wrappers going to turn to color change only. Because color change and the commercial application is absolutely two different games.
Right, I agree.
If you bring the wrapper who wrapped 10 years as a commercial graphics, applying signs, decals, and partial wraps or fleets, and if you bring him for a color change, that job will look terrible immediately. And for he will wrap this car, yes, but he just don't know, you know, because all his skills is on the flat surface. He just cuts everything on the edge. But when you come to feeding material, you know, when you not stretching but feeding material, wrapping, doing the cold corners, you know, and all those things, it's a new game. And for them to jump there and to change the methods, it's very difficult, I think. So I think the market is going to split into the more segments, and it will be more professionals of each job. So that's why I'm also trying to stay at one spot also, because I think if you know 1,000 things, you don't know nothing until the end. So I'd rather know one thing 100%, but know those 999 a little bit less, you know. And I think this is the future. You just cannot take everything. It's just mission impossible.
So you mean you gotta focus. That's your point of view.
Exactly. And I think all those companies and installers who is still sitting and waiting for clients and boosting the marketing, but not improving the quality, the knowledge, how to work faster, how to work smarter, they're just going to close at the end. You cannot sit. I mean, the rappers, the young rappers like me, they're so motivated. They're just going to kill those companies because they're going to sacrifice everything to be the best rapper, you know? And those old guys, they're just going to, at some point, they're just going to say, look, some youngster just beating us, you know? So I think, yeah. You really improving and segmentation will come to the game. I really think this because and now you can see this, you know, there's more and more companies who's doing only paint protection. They're building the workshops with the drains, with the lightning, with the garages, only paint protection, you know. So I think it will, yeah. So but definitely the market is gonna grow, and it's gonna grow. Look at the materials, what is coming, the colors, the technologies. It's sick, you know, the big brands, they're putting so much money in this thing.
There is a clear future for us, I believe. And there is a lot.
I think as long as we keep continue to like talk with the community, be in the community, learn from each other, don't hide, don't fight. You know, it's so many rappers who is fighting with each other, like mentally, I'm better than him and this and that. It doesn't hurt, you know. Instead of fighting with some rapper, just go and do something nice, you know. Just learn something new, go somewhere, you know, and share with people, because the better quality is in the market, the more jobs we have,
right?
That's the thing. So I think it's no point to hide your secrets from other rappers. It's really stupid.
So it feels like a natural question to ask you: is there anything special you would like to tell the rapping world? If you could talk to them freely, like for now, for example, what would you like to let them know?
That's a very responsible question.
Yeah, what's your words of wisdom?
Yeah, well, you know, one wrong sentence can destroy my reputation.
I'm going to put you on the line.
I would say that I wish for rappers to really never stop learning. Really, it's a super important thing, and try to be even more communicative with each other. Really share, make meetings, you know, make some annual meetings and something, you know, share the things, and don't try to, especially on Instagram, on social network, you know, so many people's fighting, you know, and one rapper, oh, what, how you rapping, what you doing, this and that, you know. This fight has to stop, you know. So more, how to say, more to be more polite with each other, maybe, you know, and just don't be okay. I'm a young guy, and if I know some rapper who's like 40 years old and he's experienced, he should not look at me as a youngster, because let's go to the workshop and
stuff. Let's rap.
Exactly, you know. You can talk as much as you want. Let's go to rap. Yeah. So that's the thing. So I that's what I wish. I think it has to be more, the community has to be more closer, more with each other. And the podcast like you do, the rapper mapper, Tim, he wants his now the job board, right? Comes, you know, this is what we need. This is what, and I'm actually have a mission in Norway. Tim sent me very much gloves, very much stickers. And I have a mission, because we're going to have a sign and print show in Oslo in September. And I have a mission just to spread the word, you know, what is rapper mapper, you know, what is the rap pod,
that's cool.
So all those things, you know, because the rappers, I want to join the community, especially in Norway. People are really stuck in their own garage, you know, and they're just doing the same work and they don't know. If you ask some rappers, do you know this rapper and this rapper? No one knows. No, here, no one, you know, this is stupid, you know. So, yeah.
All right, Mantas, I'm going to leave you to it in a couple of seconds. But before I leave you to get that bumper done, where can people find you on social?
Yes, Grand Auto Design. Facebook, Grand Auto Design. Instagram, Grand Auto Design. Of course, webpage. It's useless pretty much these days.
It's all Facebook.
But still, yeah, exactly. Or just you can always...
But do you do a Snap as well?
Yeah, I do a private Snap, but not a company Snap.
But you got to be careful there.
That's a good idea. I was thinking to do this, but I'm not sure how to get more viewers on there. Yeah, but anyway, yeah. So Grand Auto Design.
All right, that's what I have for today, Mantas. I want to thank you for being a part of the show. I want to thank you for being open and sharing your thoughts on the industry and how you see it all. So thank you very much, man.
Thank you very much, Simon, and wish you best of luck.
I hope to see you soon.
I hope you see you soon, definitely.
Bye-bye.
Bye.